Antiochian Fire by L. E. Modesset, Jr. Narrated by William DeFreeze. Copyright 2013 by L. E. Modesset, Jr. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with L. E. Modesset, Jr. and was produced in the year 2013 by Tantor Media, Incorporated, which holds the copyright thereto. 1. Quorret shivered. He opened his eyes to find himself looking up into a white sky, a sky from which flakes like icy needles jabbed at his exposed face. The low moaning of a deep winter wind filled his ears. Yet, for all that the icy needles fell upon his face, each one freezing, then burning, before penetrating his skin with a thread of chill that combined into a web that bled all warmth from his body, there was no wind. Standing around and above him, in a circle like pillars, looming out of the icy mist drifting down over him, were troopers in the blue-gray uniforms of Bavaria. Each Bavarian was coated in ice, and each stared down at him, as if to demand a reason why they stood there, frozen and immobile, why he still lived and breathed. Breathe? Quorret tried, but his body was so chill, with the ice creeping up from the pure white fingernails of his immobile hands and from his equally white and unmoving toenails, that his chest did not move. Nor could he utter even a sound, his words as frozen as his body. As he froze in the whiteness, the complete and utter stillness behind which moaned the winter wind of devastation, the dead troopers reproached him with their unmoving eyes and their silence. 2. Quorret stretched, then rose from the table in the breakfast room in the summer chateau of the late highholder Pytrak. Bayar had eaten and departed before Quorret and Vailora had come down from their tower chamber.
"You don't have to rush,"
Vailora said quietly, in the high Bavarian she and Quorret always used when alone.
"You should have more tea. You had another dream last night, didn't you?"
He nodded.
"They're not quite as often."
After a moment, he added, "But I do need to get ready."
"You're not meeting with Bayar until Eighth Glass."
"I worry about it."
"What can he do?
You handed him a great victory, and he's now ruler of both Talarin and Bavaria." Quorret raised his eyebrows. They had talked about that the night before.
"All right. Ruler of the eastern half of Bavaria, and maybe the west and north,"
his wife conceded.
"He can't exactly punish you for success."
"No, but he can keep me as a sub-commander and send me off to subdue the north, the northwest, the south, or the southwest."
"The high holders of the south already pledged allegiance,"
she reminded him. "Just those in the southeast."
"Has he heard anything from the lands of Kel?"
"He hadn't yesterday evening, and if the new Farsi High Council there rejects his proposal—" Quorret shrugged.
"They'd be fools to do so."
Vailora sighed, shaking her head slightly so that the wavy curls in her light brown hair seemed to ripple.
"No, dearest. You don't have to tell me how many fools there are in this world."
She smiled. As he looked into her brown eyes, he couldn't help but smile back at the woman who had raced across half of Lydar to bring him back from the near dead. After a moment, he replied, "I fear that he may send me as an envoy."
"To prove to the Kellans that you are everything that Major Calcorn was sent to tell them you are."
"Something like that." Quorret walked to the window, where he reached out to pull back the curtains, then stopped for a moment to reposition his hand slightly. The two fingers on Quorret's left hand still didn't work, more than 2 weeks after Vailora had finally roused him from a semi-coma. While they didn't hurt, and he could move them with his other hand, neither finger would respond to his desire to move.
At least, with his thumb and the other fingers, he could hold and lift things, or draw curtains. He was still disconcerted when he saw his fingernails, snow white, just like every strand of hair on his body. He eased back the curtains and looked out to the west. Most of the snow and ice his imaging had created to end the Battle of Varyana had melted, but the land was brown and sere, and the extreme chill had destroyed or rendered unusable many of the buildings on the west side of the River Alluce, excepting, of course, the Chateau Regis, whose walls were now alabaster white and nearly indestructible, not that anyone within had survived.
"You think the Farsi will balk?" asked Vailora gently.
"You know they will. That's not the question." Quarret released the curtains and turned, catching sight of himself in a small mirror on the wall. His brown-tinted green uniform, the only one of that shade in all of the Talaran forces, reflecting his background as a scholar, looked trim enough, although he knew it was looser than it had been, if somewhat darker than he recalled. "What happens after that is what matters."
"That's why he'll send you and no one else. Kel is 2/3 the size of old Bavaria. He doesn't want to reconquer what Karst already bled Bavaria dry to gain.
If he wants them to agree to his rule, he'll have to allow their high council to act, as would a provincial governor. Perhaps he might appoint the head counselor as provincial governor."
"I'm sure you can persuade him of that, dearest."
That meant, Quarret knew, that Vailora was telling him he needed to.
"Thank you." "You're most welcome."
A slight cough at the archway to the breakfast room reminded Quarret of the serving girl. He turned. "Yes?"
"Would there be anything else, sir and lady?"
asked the serving girl, in the rougher accent of Low Bavarian. Even after almost 2 weeks, the girl would not look directly at either of them. That was hardly surprising, Quarret reflected, and something that he'd likely encounter for some time to come. But that, too, will pass. Everything passes in time.
"Another pot of tea, if you would," said Vailora, in High Bavarian.
"Nothing more for me,"
replied Quarret, also in High Bavarian. Once the girl had provided more tea and retreated to the serving pantry, and Quarret had reseated himself across the table from his wife, he continued,
"How would you suggest that I approach the matter? He is your brother."
"Just tell him."
Quarret laughed softly. "That's easier said than done."
"You haven't had problems in the past."
"That was before we wed."
"I'm certain you've done so since then, dearest."
Quarret shook his head.
"Perhaps it's not about that at all."
"He has no other choice. Why are you so worried about it? You'll do what's necessary, and he'll accept the inevitable."
"I don't want to leave you. Not after everything."
"I don't want you to leave."
Vailora looked down. "But
we both have to do what must be done. And if Bayar has to settle Kel by force, it'll be so much the worse."
"He still might have something else in mind."
"How likely is that, dearest?"
"With Bayar, it's always possible."
Vailora raised her eyebrows.
Quarret decided against further speculation as to what Bayar would do and asked,
"How are you feeling now?"
"Much better. After the first 3 months, my stomach settled."
She made a wry face.
"Now it is merely growing."
"What will you do after you meet with Bayar?"
"Return and tell you. Then, if necessary, gather officers and imagers and tell them."
They continued to talk until Quarret rose to make his way to meet with Bayar. At half a quint before eighth glass, Quarret arrived in the second-floor corridor outside the study Bayar had appropriated until the repairs and the refurbishing of the Chateau Regis were completed. The captain stationed there inclined his head, more than perfunctorily.
"Sub-commander, sir."
"Just wait until the bell strike the glass."
"Yes, sir."
Quarret did note that as soon as the first chime echoed down the wide hallway, the captain turned, walked to the study door, and rapped upon it.
"Sub-commander Quarret, sir."
Before Bayar finished speaking, the captain opened the dark oak door and motioned for Quarret to enter. The study of the late High Holder Pytruck was located on the north side of the chateau, designed to be cool in the summer. Overlooking a walled garden, now brown, with snow and ice in the shaded corners, the north outside wall held narrow floor-to-ceiling windows, each separated from the next by dark wooden bookshelves exactly the same width as the windows. The shelves also ran from floor to ceiling, and with the inside shutters open, the small leaded panes radiated a coolness not entirely dispelled by the fire in the hearth set into the east wall. The wiry Bayar rose from behind the wide table desk positioned before the bookshelves comprising the west wall. His shortish brown hair was disarrayed, as it often was, but his dark blue eyes were intent.
"You're looking well this morning, almost back to your old self."
His Bavarian was impeccable and far more precise, Quart had discovered, than the language used by most of the chateau functionaries, unsurprisingly, since Bavarian had been the court language at Solis.
"I'm feeling well," Quart smiled.
Bayar gestured to the chairs before the desk, then reseated himself. Quart took the leftmost chair and waited for the Lord of Talaren and Bavaria to speak.
"Matters have been going well," Bayar said. "The shops and factorages in Varyana are all open. The high holders in the east and south, except for those in the southwest and those within 200 mils to the north and west, have pledged allegiance. Most have remitted token tariffs."
"Token?"
"Bavarian tariffs are due in the first week of Ferelit. Most claim, and have receipts to prove it, that they had already paid. We did recover over 30,000 golds from the strongrooms in Chateau Regis. I insisted on a token of 100 golds from each high holder."
Quarret nodded.
"What about the lands farther north and northwest?"
"Messengers have barely had a chance to reach that far."
Bayar shrugged.
"There's also the far southwest. The clerks who survived claim that there are high holders along the border with Antiago who haven't paid tariffs in years. We can't tell. Your winter freeze turned those records to mush."
Quarret doubted that the cold had, but most likely the thawing had rendered poorly entered ledger entries illegible.
"It's sounding like Karst didn't actually rule all of his own lands." "He may not have. I'm not Karst."
"Is there anything else?" As if that weren't already more than I wanted to learn.
"I'm pleased about the way your imagers have finished rebuilding and restructuring the interior of the Chateau Regis."
"They did well. I rode there on Lundi. Or is there something else you would like done?"
"No, the furnishings will come as they will, but that's not why I wanted to meet with you."
Bayar's dark blue eyes fixed on Quarret, but he said nothing more. Because he disliked Bayar's gamut of using silence to force another to speak, Quarret nodded once more and smiled politely.
"There is the problem with Kel."
"I can imagine. Have you heard from Major Kelkoran?" The former Kellan officer had been dispatched, while Quarret had still been unable to hear or communicate, with the other Kellan companies to present Bayar's suggestion that the resurgent Farsi High Council agree to Bayar's rule, under far more lenient terms than those imposed by the late Rex Karst.
"I made him a sub-commander and constituted all the Kellan companies as a battalion. He sent one dispatch from near Kirsai. He was heading to Kelgror to meet with the new High Council."
"What happened to the provincial governor?"
"We can't even find any records about one. Maybe they didn't have one. Whatever happened, I doubt it was pleasant for Karst's functionaries. Before Kalkoran left, I revoked all the holdings of Bavarian high holders in Kel. There weren't many."
Bayar frowned.
"I haven't granted any of those lands to new high holders."
"It might be wise not to," suggested Quarret.
"Not yet, anyway. I'll need to create some new high holders."
"I'm sure you will. I suspect you can find enough existing high holds in the former lands of Old Bavaria whose holders died, or who would not fit your standards to meet that need. I even ran across a few I'd be happy to recommend."
I've read your reports. There may not be enough.
There will doubtless be more before the consolidation is over, but you'll only buy the same troubles you had in Tilbor, except worse if you try creating high holdings in Kell. Besides, you need fewer high holders, not more.
I'm aware of your feelings about that, Quarret. I'm not about to do anything in Kell until the situation is clear. Kel'Koren won't be able to resolve the situation. I knew that before I dispatched him.
So that's why you're going to send me.
I don't believe I've mentioned that to you, or anyone else. You're wrong. I'm not sending you.
Bayar smiled, the expression one of pleasure, with a hint of mischief.
I'm making you and Vylora my envoys.
Vylora? Asked Quarret.
She is with child, you know.
He didn't keep a slight acidity from his voice.
She rode from Solas here without stopping more than a few glasses at any one time, said Bayar coolly, and that didn't hurt her. She's not due until late spring or early summer. I've had Sub-Commander Cairn look into the fastest means of transport. You and Vylora, as I was about to tell you, can take Karst's personal canal boat along the Great Canal from Varyana to Laren, and then down the river. I've already arranged for the Montagna to meet you at Ephra, and take you to Kersai. From there, you can take a flatboat up to the Groarl River to Kelgroar. You'll have two regiments and what's left of your 5th Battalion as an escort, and your imagers.
The Montagna is a large vessel, but she's scarcely large enough to carry two regiments in first company, Quarret pointed out, let alone mounts for the men.
I also sent the Solas and made arrangements to charter 10 other merchanters. You'll have to leave most of the mounts behind, but the traders in Kersai should have enough mounts for you there.
Quarret had his doubts about fitting two regiments and a company on even 12 ships, and whether all 12 would even arrive at Ephra.
How do I know we'll have enough mounts at Kersai? I've done what I can. You'll have to do whatever's necessary when you get there.
Bayar smiled again.
There aren't any Farsi troopers left, except the ones you commanded, and they won't attack you. I can't believe that any remaining Bavarian units in Kell, if there even are any, are large enough to give you, of all my commanders, any difficulty.
All your commanders?
You've been promoted to commander.
Bayar gestured to a felt pouch on the desk.
All your insignia are there. I'd appreciate it if you'd put them on before you leave the study.
I'll make sure I do, sir. Quart had to admit that none of the Talaran senior officers who'd covertly opposed him would be able to say a thing, not publicly, after his imaging had destroyed almost all the Bavarian defenders, as well as the late Rex Karst, his court and family, and all the senior Bavarian officers, as well as more than a score of high holders close to Karst. Equally important, the senior Talaran officers, especially Marshal Ducalin and Submarshal Miskell, would be pleased to have Quart out of the way. Quart had no doubts that they would be planning to reduce his influence by the time he and Vylora returned.
Might I know the regiment besides that of Sub-Commander Cairn?
The 19th Regiment from Northern Army, now headed by Sub-Commander Alazin.
Recently promoted from Major?
Exactly,
Bayar laughed. Oh, and on the way to Ephra, you'll also be accompanied by Commander Scarpa and the Southern Army. Marshal Ducalin suggested that to keep Aliaro from getting adventurous and to make certain that the southwesternmost high holders pledge allegiance, Scarpa will also have to deal with the Elveweed problem.
Quart raised his eyebrows.
I didn't know Bavaria had an Elveweed problem. He also didn't like the fact that Ducalin had suggested Scarpa's new assignment.
Then again, it might have been Miskell.
Everyone has an Elveweed problem. As I recall, there were some factors in Extela.
Quarret nodded. He didn't like being reminded of some of the difficulties he'd encountered in his brief tenure as provincial governor of Montagna.
What is the particular problem in Ephra?
Smuggling?
You might recall that Aliaro tried to blockade the port during Karst's campaign in Kell, and that Karst burned part of Kefria. I'm certain Aliaro hasn't forgotten that.
But Aliaro sent troopers against us on the campaign up the Alus, Quarret pointed out.
That was then. Rulers have to be flexible. Bayar smiled sardonically. Then there's the problem that several high holders have the equivalent of battalions of private guards, funded by their investments in elfweed and other even more undesirable substances. With all that, I hope you gave Scarpa another 4 or 5 regiments and made him a sub-marshal, said Quarret. Bayar laughed.
Once more, I see the wisdom of not keeping you too close at hand.
The silence drew out, but Quarret refused to speak. Finally, Bayar said, I already assigned 2 more regiments. That won't be enough, for many reasons. First, Subcommander Cairn and his regiment will be with me. Second, Aliaro will look at how many regiments Scarpa has. Third, you don't need all of the Northern Army here in Varianna. Fourth, you'll have to strain to keep feeding the extra regiments. Quarret paused, then asked, Do you want to hear more?
No. From what you're saying, I should give him 4 regiments more.
You should, or 5, and the promotion.
I will. I've learned that it's not wise to disregard your suggestions, even if I don't like them. But give me some reasons.
Quart refrained from smiling at Bayar's barely hidden exasperation. First, the title will help convince Aliaro to behave, or at least to think before he tries some form of provocation. Second, it will give the local high holders pause. Third, it will allow Scarpa the time, the men, and the position to plan for the eventual. Fourth, it will give both Ducalin and Miskell pause. Fifth, you should also send Miskell up the River Alus from Varianna to assure the full capitulation of the high holders in the areas of Rivage, Asseroyal, Tocqueville, and perhaps all the way to the Montagnes de Glace.
By doing that, I do understand that part, said Bayar testily.
It also emphasizes that you're relying on Scarpa as heavily as Miskell,
and that will require Ducalin, whom you trust not at all, to be more careful in what he does.
Quarret nodded.
I'll promote Scarpa, but don't you say a word. Arranging the other regimental transfers will take a bit more time. Still, you and Vailora should be able to leave on Lundi.
Bayar put his hands on the wooden arms of the desk chair, as if about to rise. You also need to let Scarpa pick his successor as commander of 3rd Regiment.
Of course. What else?
Bayar's voice turned quietly sardonic. You're getting what you want, Quarret said quietly. I'd like something.
Oh? You're now a commander.
Quarret ignored the reference to the promotion. He'd more than earned it. You remember that you agreed to my building the Imagers into a group that will support you and your heirs, and even Clyar's heirs?
How could I forget?
They need to be gathered in a place that is both separate and isolated, yet close enough to remind everyone, quietly, that they are at your beck and call. The battle resulted in much devastation, especially along the river. The so-called Isle of Piers would be an excellent location for such a place. Also, by turning it into a beautiful Isle Scholarium for Imagers, it would help reinforce both your power and your grace in rebuilding a more beautiful Varianna. Although, in a year or so, when you officially relocate your capital here, I would recommend changing the city's name.
Do your presumptions never end?
Bayar's tone was half amused, half exasperated, and followed by a sigh. Have I advised or done anything that was not proved to be in your interests, sir? Quart decided against reminding Bayar that they had already discussed what he had just said. Bayar shook his head, not even trying to conceal his exasperation.
I will be glad when you are off furthering my interests out of earshot.
That is another reason why you might consider allowing the Isle of Piers to the Imagers.
Enough!
Bayar shook his head vigorously, but the sigh that followed was the long and dramatic one, not the short, explosive one that indicated real anger.
I will hold the Isle for a future reserve, for now, until you return from the so-called High Council of Kell with an agreement accepting my sovereignty.
You won't get that unless you allow the head of their High Council to act as the provincial governor of Kell.
I can't do that.
How about as princeps? That would allow your rule to be paramount, but allow the Farsi some latitude in maintaining their way of life.
Bayar's frown was thoughtful. Quarret once more waited.
"Are you sure you didn't know you were Farsi until last year?"
"Absolutely." Quarret paused. "You could use that arrangement as leverage to keep the provincial governors of Talaren in line."
"They'll have to grant more than that. At least 20 high holdings along the coast, and 2 or 3 near Kelgror."
"I might persuade them to the coast holdings. I doubt that they'd agree to a high holding near Kelgror, unless you made at least one of them a Farsi holder."
"Do what you can. But I can't let it be seen that the Farsi are dictating terms."
"In other words, you need to claim you've obtained the spoils of high holdings."
"You don't have to put it that way, Quarret."
"I just wish matters to be clear between us."
"I've never spoken for you except exactly what you have stated." "Or what you've gotten me to agree to state."
Quarret grinned. "You've never agreed to anything you wouldn't have granted, and you know it." Although Bayar grinned, if briefly in return, Quarret knew he'd be in the study for at least another glass, going over details, and then the minutiae of those details.
3.
As Quarret had suspected, his meeting with Bayar was not short, and he did not return to the quarters he and Vailora shared until almost 3 quints past 9th glass. She was waiting for him in the small sitting room adjoining their bedchamber, and immediately rose from where she had been seated, setting a small leather-bound volume on the table beside her chair.
"Reading Rolan and the Nameless again?"
he asked. She offered a mock scowl.
"Are you going to tell me how things went with Bayar, besides getting promoted?"
An impish smile appeared as her eyes took in the gold crescent moon insignia on Quarid's collar.
"Did you know?"
She shook her head.
"You know I've scarcely talked to him since you recovered. I did think he'd have to, but having to do something means he'll usually take his time in getting around to it. What did he say about your going to Kel?"
"About what we suspected," replied Quarret dryly, "except for one thing. You're coming with me to Kelgror. We're both being named as envoys."
"I thought that might be the case."
"Oh, you did?"
"Think about to whom you'll be talking, dearest, and who often makes the decisions. Especially after what happened to most of the men."
Quarret nodded. He should have thought about that. Women were equal, if not more than equal, in Farsi culture. Since much of Kel had been Farsi, at least before the ravages of the Red Death and the bloodbath created by the late Rex Karst's conquest of Kel, women would definitely be involved in deciding on Bayar's offer. Sending not only a high-ranking Farsi officer such as Quarret, but his wife, who was Bayar's sister and known to be of Farsi blood, only made sense. If you succeed. Only if you succeed.
"It's not likely to be as easy as Bayar thinks."
"I doubt he thinks it's easy."
"And if we don't get their agreement..."
"You'll end up as Princeps in Tilbor again, or in the far north of Bavaria when all the fighting's over," suggested Vailora. "Or, even worse, as military governor of Kel."
"That's assuming I survive the assignments that Miskell and Dukalin will suggest Bayar give me."
"We'd best succeed."
Vailora's voice was firm. She didn't have to mention that Quarret had barely survived either the Battle of Feraval or the Battle of Varyana.
"We'll have 2 regiments, plus 1st Company, after we leave Ephra."
He kept a bland expression on his face.
"We're supposed to travel unescorted across Bavaria?"
asked Vailora a trace sharply.
"No. 2 regiments and 1st Company will accompany us all the way. Commander Scarpa and Southern Army will also go as far as Ephra."
He shook his head.
"After that, Bayar's arranged for ships to take us to Kersai. I have my doubts about whether they'll all show up, since 10 are merchanters."
"More than doubts, knowing what you know about merchanters. And again, he had to have made arrangements weeks ago, even before you'd recovered, but..." He looked at Vailora.
"Did you tell him I'd recover?"
"Of course. I knew you would. I told you that, dearest. What about the ships?"
"His 2 warships will be there, but the merchanters..."
Quarret shrugged.
If they all don't make it, Scarpa could use extra battalions and regiments. Then there's the problem with mounts.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?